Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, listeners and listening audience. This evening we have a special treat for you. We have with us this evening Sandra Michelle. Sandra Michelle will be directing this session, and she'll be speaking to some ideas that God has placed on her heart. Sandra Michelle is the mother of five. She is the founder of a ministry, God Crazy Girls, based in Smyrna, Tennessee. And she is also a recent author. She's authored a book recently. I'll let her speak to that more throughout the course of this evening's session. Without further delay, I present to you Sandra Michelle.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Brother Marcus, so much for that kind introduction. I am tuned in, and I'm very excited here to be with all of you on this evening. I've just recently been introduced to the Grace View Blog Talk Radio Show, and I've been listening to some of the sessions. And I must say that I'm very excited to be a part of this ministry, and I'm very honored to be asked by Brother John Marshall to be a hostess on this Thursday evening. And I pray that all of you have had a wonderful day so far, and I hope we're all ready to participate in this discussion tonight. Sorry. If you have any questions or if you want to make a comment, please dial the number 1 because we want to hear from you, and then we'll get you on the line. So the topic I will be discussing tonight, I have to admit, is a very personal topic in nature to me. We'll be discussing the impact of growing up motherless. The reason why this is such a personal topic for me is because my biological mother, she physically and emotionally abandoned me when I was growing up. So I know firsthand some of the challenges of not growing up with the mother and that impact that it has on you, not only as a child, but also in your adult years. Being abandoned can be one of the most damaging emotional wounds that any of us will ever encounter. And the impact of being forsaken by someone who we believe is supposed to really love us and care for us can result sometimes in depression. It can cause you not to trust anyone. You can end up thinking that the bottom is always going to fall out of situations when something is going good. So it can have a major impact not only on your childhood, but also in your adulthood and how you relate to other adults as you grow older. So with that being said, I want to tell you just a little bit about my story. And then I'm going to open up the floor with a couple of questions so we can hear some of your thoughts concerning this topic. So for those of you who don't know me, I am biracial. My father was an African-American male, and my mother is a Caucasian woman. He's passed away, but she's still here with us. And my parents never married, but they did date on and off for about 12 years in the late 60s and the early 70s. When I was born, my mother, she didn't even take me home from the hospital, and I found out that a friend of my father's actually took me home with her. So my father eventually convinced his mother to care for me, and my grandmother ended up raising me, and then actually some of my aunts helped too. I was kind of tossed back and forth, but basically my grandmother, she ended up raising me, and so I'm very grateful for that. But I can remember as a little girl seeing my mother pull up outside my grandmother's house, and she would go upstairs to visit my father. And our house was divided into two separate sections, and he lived in the section that was upstairs. So about 30 minutes or so, you know, she would go visit him, and I would see her go up there. But then I would see her come back and get in her car, and then she would leave. And sometimes I would go back to the window, and just her car was gone, so I never did actually see her get back in the car. The car just disappeared. But the bottom line is there I was standing as a little girl seeing my mother come and go, but she wouldn't come in the downstairs section to see me. So that made me feel very, very rejected and abandoned. And some people, you know, might say, well, your grandmother was there, you know, to love you and take care of you and support you, and that should have been okay, because I hear a lot of people say, well, she took your place and she was really your mother. But many times, if we're honest with ourselves, you know, we're not satisfied unless we have the one that we want to love us. And, excuse me, I'm overcoming bronchitis, so sorry about that. But let me give you an example. Growing up, I had this friend of mine that I had met in church, and I just fell madly in love with him, okay? And we were really, really good friends, but he had no interest in dating me. And it didn't appear that he was in love with me like I was in love with him. But we talked on the phone a lot, and we were good friends. And although I ended up dating someone else, I wanted him to love me like I loved him. So no matter how perfect that I would be for him, or, you know, be the best friend I could be, he still would never say, hey, I love you, let's go out, or want me to be his girlfriend. So, but my boyfriend at the time, he would tell me that he loved me all the time. And that was nice, and I appreciated that. And it was cool, but he was not who I really wanted love from. So in the same way, that was kind of like with my grandmother. It's like it was nice to have her love, and I was thankful growing up that she raised me. Now, of course, now looking back, I'm a lot more thankful. But it was my mother's love that is what I really wanted and I couldn't get. So when we don't get what we want from others, that can make us feel very rejected. It can make us feel depressed. It can make us feel abandoned. And the long-term impact of my mother not giving me that love I wanted from her actually led me on a path of developing relationships with other people who also, for whatever reason, could not or would not give me the love that I was seeking. And so basically that's where the rejection feeling is coming from, is because we're not getting what we want from somebody. We're not getting either their love, their devotion, their adoration, and then so therefore we feel rejected. But psychologically growing up, I was always seeking relationships with people who were emotionally and sometimes physically unavailable. And I didn't know that what I was really doing was attempting to heal my own, I call it mommy wounds, by finding other people that were similar to her that I would have to try and convince that I was a really loving person. And so guess what? I found out that you can't make somebody love you, and that in all your efforts to do that, it just keeps the emotional suffering going on and on and on, because we all know we have to get that love from ourselves and from the Lord. So in a minute, I want to share with you guys two scriptures that changed my dysfunctional ways of relating with people, and it helped me to heal those mother wounds, so to speak. But first, I want to open the floor up to anyone that may have any questions. I want to throw out a question to some of the listeners. Is there anyone on the call tonight who, like me, has sought approval from other people as a result of not having your mother there for you, either physically or emotionally or both? Because, you know, sometimes even in our physical homes, you know, our mothers may be there, but that they may step out on us emotionally. But if there's anyone who's ever sought approval from others as a result of not having their mothers there, physically, emotionally, both, can you share with us what you did to heal your mother wounds, or what you are in the process of doing now to heal those wounds? Is there anyone?
Hello.
Okay, we do have a caller. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can. I can hear you.
Okay, great. I'm sorry. There were some technical difficulties. I would like to answer your question. When I was growing up, my mother was there physically. But she didn't like me. And looking back on it, I couldn't understand why she didn't like me. Emotionally, she rejected me and led me on a path to where I was always trying to seek somebody else's approval by being the best at everything that I possibly could be to win her approval. And no matter how good I was, no matter how much I tried, she would always try to find fault with me or with something that I did, and or withhold the love, the affection, the approval, the nourishing, all of those things. She always did that to me. But I would watch her be loving to my sisters and my brother. And that carried over into a lot of my relationships. And then over the years, I finally had to tell myself, I don't need anybody else's approval. And it took a long time and a lot of struggles and a lot of different things to get to that. But I finally got to the point where I was able to say, I don't need your approval. But I would say that was about 30 or 40 years in the making before I finally got to that point. Because first of all, you're unaware. I was unaware that I was seeking her approval and wanting her approval and doing that. And so what I noticed is that all of my relationships, my marriages were to people just like her. My friendships were to people just like her. And I was always feeling that I wasn't good enough.
Right.
That I wasn't enough. And so she was there physically. You know, she took care of me, clothed me. That was another part. Not all the time. Like in the fifth grade, because I was growing, you know, you're 10 years old, 11 years old, you're going through a growth spurt or whatever. And she made me wear all of her old clothes from the 1950s and 1940s.
Wow. Well, let me ask you a question. When you made that decision you understood within your soul that you don't need anyone's approval, including your mother, how did that affect your relationship? How did you deal differently with her? Did you explain that to her, or is that just something you personally decided? But how did it change your relationship, or did it change your relationship?
It did change my relationship with her. She no longer had the power over me that she wanted to have.
Mm-hmm.
She no longer, me trying to please her, to get her approval, was no longer effective. She kept up a lot of drama, a lot of this, and a lot of different things. But as the years went by, it just no longer affected me. Now, don't get me wrong. I still had all of that stuff that I had to work through and get through. And even now, like today, some of those wounds came up for me to deal with. But I didn't care if she approved anymore.
Right.
I didn't care. I mean, I can remember, for instance, I went down to visit her one time, and I had, at that time, I only had two kids, my girls. And when I went down there, because I was on vacation, and I would hug the girls and give them a kiss every morning and do their hair and do different things. And it made her extremely uncomfortable to the point that she said to me, "You spoil them. You give them too much love and too much affection." And I just looked at her. How in the world can you possibly give too much love and too much affection? As a matter of fact, she said I was overcompensating. And I just stared at her because the girls loved me and they would run up to me and give me hugs and kisses and say I love you and stuff. But I can tell you something, I don't ever remember doing that with her.
Uh-huh. Yeah, our parents, I think, but we is guilty too, so I'll have to put myself in there. not receiving my emotional needs met growing up, even though my grandmother raised me, I can't, and she was a wonderful woman. I call her a saint and an angel all the time, but she still wasn't able to give me probably everything that I needed emotionally, even though she took care of me physically. And I'm not so sure sometimes we even know how to do that. Now, some of our mothers, obviously listening to you tell your story about your mother, my grandmother was not like that. But I'm just saying there still were some gaps there, you know, some things that I needed emotionally that she wasn't able to give me. But when you go through extreme emotional abuse like that, you're right. I have to agree with you that it does. It turns into a dysfunction because you're so used to having to dance around or try to beg for that love, and you'll find yourself in situations and relationships where you're trying to do the same thing. And so, like I said earlier, for me, I would find myself in relationships with people who were emotionally unavailable. Either they had some type of addiction, either they, you know, were in a relationship with somebody else and I had an emotional connection to them, but they were not there for me emotionally or physically. And so you just get in that routine of needing someone to be there, because I think on some level what we do is when we find these relationships that kind of mirror our parents, we're trying to heal that wound. Because if I tried to get the love from her and I couldn't do it, so then I find another object of affection, and I'm trying to get them to love me too, so that way I can get some type of validation. It's almost like the little girl and you screaming, "Hey, I am worthy. Can you prove to me that I'm lovable? How much can I do for you to just say, I love you, you know?" So it can really impact us in the way we deal with each other and our relationships. So what are you doing now to heal your mother wound? What can you give us? What kind of routines or scriptures? Did you go to therapy? What are you doing to help heal some of your mother wounds? Did we lose her? Okay, I guess we lost that caller. So do we have any other callers? So if you're still listening to the show, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you two scriptures that changed my life as I journeyed to heal my mother wounds. And the first one, and this one I ran across about 3 years ago, and it's in Psalms 27:10. That says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." And that scripture, it just opened up my mind to know that if your father and mother forsake you, the Lord will receive me. And what that did for me is showed me that my birth really had nothing to do with my parents. Even though your parents are... Yes, sir? Hello? Okay, I'm not sure if we have technical difficulties, but as I was saying, that my birth really had nothing to do so much with my parents as they were just vehicles to bring me here so I can have a relationship with the Lord. And as Jeremiah said, you know, in Jeremiah 1:5, God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew who you were." So before my parents ever even came together in a sexual act to conceive me, God already had plans for me. So now when I look at my parents and what they did and did not do for me, it doesn't bother me because I know God had a purpose to bring me here that had nothing to do with them. And then the second scripture that changed my life as far as getting over my mother wounds, and that's 1 John 4:8, where it says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." And that God is love means he is the source. That's just who he is. And so it was very crazy for me now, looking back through all the years, to go try to find sources of love through things that didn't provide that source. If God is love, overeating isn't love. Sexual relationships isn't love. Gambling isn't love. Working too hard isn't love. Your mother isn't love, even though there's supposed to be a source of it. But God is the true source of love. And so it makes no sense to keep trying to find love through all the other different sources and think that that's going to fulfill you, because it really isn't. God is the only true source of love. And then when he fills you up with love, you don't necessarily have to go looking for it, because he fills you up with it. And so then you can have enough love to give to others, and you won't have a dependency on other people's love, because your source will be coming from him. So if any of you out there have any negative impacts of or emotional wounds from your parents not being there for you emotionally, and you're still suffering from it, I'm really hoping that you will know that even if your mother and father forsake you emotionally, that God will receive you. And the reason you are here is so you can build a relationship with him, and he can become that source of love to you. Once he becomes the source of love to you, then you'll be able to give and receive love back from other people, because you'll get to the point where you're not dependent upon other people's love, and then you'll be able to love in a healthy way. So is anyone else, do we have any more callers? I think we have another caller. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Oh, it's me. It's me again. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. We must have gotten disconnected earlier. What I had asked you, I was hoping you would come back. What I was asking you was what I think the question I asked you was, what are you doing, or what have you done to heal your mommy wounds? What can you offer the audience to help you overcome those emotional wounds?
Well, I went through a series of things. Like I do prayers and meditations and affirmations, and I do a lot of journal writing. I've been journaling since, I want to say, 1999, I started journaling, and I dealt with a lot of that pain in my journals, because I wanted someplace safe that I could just vent and not have anybody come back and say, well, you shouldn't feel this way or you shouldn't feel that way. I just wanted a place where it was just between me and God, that I could just vent and get all of that toxic emotions out of my being.
Okay.
So I do a lot of journaling.
All right.
And that
then
has helped me.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad that has helped you. It's very important that we heal those emotional wounds. Especially, I heard someone say once before that if we are a mess when we go into a relationship, we're going to create a mess. You know, there's a saying out there that says, something about being in relationships, you help me to unload my baggage. And, you know, I think sometimes I'm like, yeah, I guess you can do that. You can get in a relationship and someone maybe can help you unload your baggage. But I think that you would do a person much more favor if you unload the baggage first. So then when you go into the relationship, you can be healthy and whole enough to give something to the relationship. Because if you don't do that, what you'll end up doing is you'll use that person to make you feel good, or you'll use that person to heal your mother and daddy wound, and that'll be unfair to them. Because no one can heal that from you. God is love. He's that source. So I would recommend that you get rid of your baggage first out of respect for your future partner, so they don't have to put up with all of it. But I'm sure there are people that come together and help, you know, unload the baggage together. So whatever works for, you know, whatever person. But I'm praying that we all can heal from our emotional wounds. And that way, once we do get that baggage off, we can go and live that life that God wants us to live. Because I firmly believe he wants us to be free of all of that. So, and I want to be free of it. And I know we want to have free, healthy, vibrant lives in Jesus. Amen. So do we have any other callers tonight or any other questions? Anybody? Okay, well, I am going to assume there are no more callers or questions, and so I am going to call this a wrap. I hope you guys have learned something tonight that will help you in your spiritual walk, especially if you have any wounds left over from your mother or your father. I just want you to remember that God has you here for a purpose. He, even though they are here and they were supposed to be a source of love to us, they were vehicles to bring us here so he could use us. So regardless of whether they were there for us emotionally, we still owe them respect and honor, and then we owe God our love and our service. So if that's it, I want to say thank you to Brother John and Brother Marcus for allowing me to be on this call tonight, and I hope in some way that it has blessed you, and it actually has blessed me. I thank you for the caller and your input, and I hope you do well in your spiritual journey and your healing. And I will say good night to you all. Much love to you. In Jesus' name, bye-bye.
This episode of Wondrous Women has been brought to you by the Solomon Society. If this episode has blessed you, why not bless your friends? Send them this online address, www.blogtalkradio.com/The Grace View, so that they can hear what you have just heard. And to ensure the continuation of this ministry, please make a tax-deductible donation to the Solomon Society.